Well, unfortunately, Dr. Ron and Linda back from an amazing European vacation.
It's not unfortunate. I'm glad to go. I'm glad to be home.
The only thing that's unfortunate about this vacation is we both gained more weight than we ever thought we were going to gain.
Do we really need to talk about that, Ron?
I think we do. I think we need to talk about all the great food that we had. I can't believe the amount of amazing food you and I consumed during the last 3 weeks.
It was great.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Guilty at all about eating that great food.
No. So just a few minutes ago, unbeknownst to you, I downloaded the Weight Watchers app and signed up for it.
Oh my God. You're going to drag me back into Weight Watchers.
Well, I'm going to drag me into it. You can do what you want.
Well, you know, talking about other frustrating things, you might have watched the Kavanaugh hearings.
I pretty much watched every bit of it. And what I couldn't watch, I listened to. I had my computer on at the office and so was kind of double tasking here.
Well, you know, I'm interested, as you being a woman, in what your thoughts were about how the hearing was conducted and how Christine Blasey Ford did.
Well, I think that the entire hearing, the entire fact that there was a hearing like this was a travesty to everybody involved. I could probably have a conversation with you about this for hours because I really have a very passionate take on this. I don't think that this should have happened. I think it was, I don't know if you got a chance to see Lindsey Graham talk his little speech where he was very insulted and said that if you want to get a fair shake, you don't come to Washington. And I agree. This was a travesty. So here's my bottom line on this, Ron. My bottom line is I don't believe Christine Ford. And I'm not saying something never happened to her. I don't know. And quite honestly, in this particular instance, I don't care either. What I do care about is that she made an accusation against somebody that I absolutely believe is innocent. And I do believe that in many ways she was a political pawn here. And here was the end game. And actually, Geraldo Rivera said it best, that it was a Democratic attempt at a coup to not have Kavanaugh be elected to the Supreme Court. And that is what this was. It was a very calculated, a very devious trick to not have him elected. And, you know, if you just think about the entire timeline of this, it's exactly what they did, exactly what they wanted to do, to disrupt this at the very end of the process when there would be no more time to have a second pick if needed that could possibly be confirmed in time. Therefore, they could use that seat on the Supreme Court as a carrot for people to go out and vote Democratic and make the Senate be more Democratic. So this was the ploy, and then we would never have a conservative judge. And we don't know the answer yet, if they have won at this or not, but hopefully they haven't. But America, regardless of what happens, has to see what has been done here. And it was a travesty of our American system.
You know, I think, without a doubt in my mind, it was the lowest point of politics that I've ever witnessed. I've never seen anything that even came close to it. And by the way, I did have an opportunity to witness, by listening and watching, the Clarence Thomas hearings in the very early 90s. I don't remember, 91,
sure.
92, something like that.
And I recall those as well.
And with Anita Hill, remember that?
Yes.
And I thought that was disgraceful.
I did too.
But this, by far in a way, put, you know, that justice who was appointed, by the way, and has done an admirable job since he's been on the Supreme Court, and also Neil Gorsuch, right? Did I pronounce his name
Gorsuch.
Right? Gorsuch, our newest Supreme Court justice. I think it put both of those to shame. I've never seen anything so disgraceful in my entire life. And you mentioned Lindsey Graham. Now, I'll tell you, Linda, like I've told you before, haven't been a big fan of Lindsey Graham for a variety of reasons, but I did watch the news and watched him respond to the Democrats and the entire process, and I had to admire the guy. I think he laid it right out there and told everybody, including poor, judge nominee Kavanaugh, that he was not going to get any due process there. And I wrote an article today for America Out Loud.
Oh, I read that.
Thank you. The title was, Forensic versus Political Investigations in a Search for the Truth. Well, whenever you have a political investigation or politically inspired or biased investigation, you are never going to have a search for the truth. There's just no way that's going to happen because there's both implicit and confirmation bias and just deviant behavior involved. And the keystone, in my opinion, the keystone of American democracy as set out in our Bill of Rights, and it's the Fifth Amendment of our Bill of Rights, involves the presumption of innocence and due process. And I didn't see one iota of either of those two concepts, presumption of innocence and also due process, demonstrated by the Democratic senators that was up there. I thought the whole thing, like Kavanaugh said, was a complete sham and a disgrace. If I can put my two cents worth in as a forensic investigator that used to work sexual assault cases, I was completely embarrassed by the lack of engagement by the female prosecutor from Arizona. I think her name was Mitchell. And when you are doing a probative interview, because that's what this is, okay? It's essentially, it's a forensic interview that needs to be probative during an administrative hearing for an employment position. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to vet Judge Kavanaugh for the position of Supreme Court Justice. And obviously there's allegations of sexual impropriety, but that's all they are. They're allegations. And so the purpose of a probative interview is to find facts and then reconcile the facts against the representations. Okay, so a person represents something. Ford is alleging that Kavanaugh acted inappropriately with her sexually during an encounter when they were in high school. He was 17. She was 15 back in what, the 1980s or something?
Yes.
Okay. And so she's saying that these particular things happened. All right, that's fine. There is no support whatsoever. I mean, not one iota of support for any of her representations.
In fact, the opposite.
Exactly.
The representations are denied.
Right. But here's the problem. There is a protocol for conducting a forensic interview, a probative interview. And the third part of the interview sequence is called reconciliation. So you're listening to what the person has to say, and then in step three, you are asking for questions of clarification, and then you are attempting to reconcile, in other words, see whether circumstances, facts, and forensic evidence support the representation of the person. And you need to take them on. You need to question them probatively and say, well, you know what? Here's a great example, Lynn. You said that you couldn't come out because you were afraid of flying, but you've also said in other statements that you flew here, you flew there. I mean, your whole life you've been flying from one place to another. Isn't that correct? So help me with this statement that you made about you're afraid of flying. Are you afraid of flying or not afraid of flying?
Well, and she should have done that, and she didn't do it that way. She did the kinder, gentler version of that, which didn't play well to almost anybody, well, to be honest with you.
When you're doing the kinder, gentler, you know, demeanor in your interview, you're not reconciling the forensic facts. You can be nice. I'm not talking about, you know, the phone book interview with the bright lights and everything. I'm talking about just smiling and saying to that person, hey, you know, can you help me out with something? I want to go back over one of the things you said in your statement. And then you repeat that and you get them to confirm that that, in fact, is what they said, so you didn't misunderstand what they said. And then you hit them with a contradictory statement or a contradictory factoid. And then you ask them, can you reconcile that for me? And that's done very professionally. That was never done. But let me say one more thing, mm-hmm. and then I really want to hear, you know, what you've got to say about this. The entire process of the fact, so-called fact-finding interview was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. Why would a prosecutor with sexual assault experience allow that format to take place, which is totally obstructive, totally distracting? Case in point, I didn't watch it like you did, but I listened to good portions of it, and I've had an opportunity after the hearing to also watch portions of it on television. And you got a senator giving a speech and posturing and doing all of this for 5 minutes, and then the prosecutor gets 5 minutes to ask some questions, and then they put the brakes on that and they go to the next senator. That is not the way you conduct a forensic interview.
Well, you're absolutely right, but that is what they did. And, you know, in some ways, I'm glad that they did it that way. It's a double-edged sword because to listen to each Democratic senator give a speech rather than ask questions, rather than try to find out any facts, each one gave a speech that basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, you poor thing, thank you so much for being here. We know how hard this must be, and you are an inspiration to all women, which, hello, I'm a woman. I don't think she's an inspiration, but beside the point. And they gave her all these kudos, and then they told her how they believed her, and they hadn't even heard the other side of this argument. So that's just so totally unfair and biased to me. This was a sham. It was a political ploy. It was a political coup attempt. Christine Blasey Ford is either a very good liar, or she is a political pawn. I'm not sure which. Or she's a person who has some sort of problem emotionally, mentally, I'm not sure what, that makes her want to be in this limelight. Because let's go back to one thing that came up several times about who leaked this to the media. Well, if nobody knew this but Christine Ford and Dianne Feinstein and this one other politician who leaked it, if Dianne Feinstein says her office didn't leak it and she was asked to be to keep it confidential and she did, that only leaves one other person to have leaked it, which was Christine Ford herself. This was calculated in the timing run. This, you know, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And that's what this is.
Well, you know, one of the things that bothers me is I'm listening to all the television pundits speak, and even on Fox News, which you and I, it's one of the stations that you and I watch, they keep referring to Ford as sounding credible.
Yes.
Well, I think they misunderstand the word credible and what it means.
Oh, I agree.
When you listen to them explain why Christine Ford was credible in their eyes, it's because she made an emotional statement. And because they believed the representation of emotion, then to them, it felt like a credible statement. That is, those are two different things. A good actor who is a skilled actor or a witness who has been prepped for a couple of weeks can certainly introduce emotional, tearing, being upset in your voice when you're making your statement and be totally deceptive.
Well, and I want to say something else. And I know that certainly a lot of women may disagree with me, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Because that's the kind of woman you are.
Listen, I was 15 years old at one time as well. I was 16, 17, as we all were. And in those days and in those times, there was a lot of tomfoolery going around with couples. And I'm not saying sex necessarily. I'm saying there was boys attempting to kiss girls. There have been since the beginning of time.
There was the drive-in.
Yeah, there was the drive-in. There were certainly, if you were a girl and a boy liked you, they were going to try their hand at something, and it was up to you as the girl to say, no, cut it out, okay? Now, would boys sometimes get a little more frisky than other times, or some boys, were a little more forceful? Absolutely. Then you have to be more forceful back, okay? But at this point in life, Ron, I would never look back at those times. And I'm sure in my time, I have equal of things as she came out with, which to me wasn't a big deal. Oh boy, some boy tried to kiss me and tried to start taking my clothes off. Okay, I would kick him in the you-know-whats and say, get the heck out of here and handle it, okay? But 36 years later, I would not be crying in front of Congress about it. I would not do that. I can't imagine, everybody's all impressed with her emotionalism. I'm the opposite. I think it's phony. You wouldn't be emotional about it. Now, if you were horrifically raped, beaten, threatened with death, I would still be crying about it, okay? But not this. This does not ring true to me as a woman. Sorry.
As I wrote about in my article, there are standards of proof. Okay, the different standards of proof are things like reasonable suspicion, probable cause, preponderance of evidence, guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's what we have. And when we are doing these probative interviews and we're doing these investigations, according to the rule of law, those are the standards that we have to apply. And whether it's in a criminal environment or a civil environment, the courts preclude or prevent witnesses from offering up speculation, unsupported opinions, educated guesses, and suspicions. You just can't do it. They have to be fact-based.
I want to hear more about that, so I'm going to grab a cup of tea for you, and then we'll continue.
Tired of watching the same old sporting events? Well, kick it up a notch and get ready, America, for something you've never seen before. It's the new generation of Western superstars. Shorty Gorham's American Freestyle Bullfighting. Who will win? The acrobatic, tough-as-nails Western superstar or the meanest half-ton fighting bulls on Earth? This is one of the most extreme sports you'll ever see in an arena. This is hand-to-horn combat on a level playing field. Go to ShortyGorhamAFB.com or find them on Facebook. It's bullfighting time.
Well, the Out and Out perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life. on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, thanks for the hot tea. I really appreciate that. Just before we got something to drink, we were talking about standards of proof. And the bottom, or how do I say this, the lowest level standard of proof in an investigation is referred to as reasonable suspicion. And reasonable suspicion is generally defined as, you know, circumstances, statements, facts, and forensic evidence that would cause a reasonably trained investigator to believe that there was some sort of criminal activity that had taken place. And, you know, that allows us to, of course, detain and conduct an investigation, but not make an arrest. Now, probable cause sounds a lot like reasonable suspicion, but it's a bit different. It's circumstances, statements, facts, and forensic evidence that causes the investigator to reasonably believe that a crime has been committed and a particular person committed that crime. So in this particular case, we are talking about a complainant who's Dr. Ford, who alleges that back around 1985, was it 1982?
Yeah.
Okay, well, 35 years ago or so, Brett Kavanaugh, when he was a teenager, jumped on top of this drunk girl and tried to take her clothes off, and when she tried to scream, he put his hand over her mouth. There was no sexual assault that took place, even though everybody's calling it a sexual assault. Now,
well,
that would be...
She said he was trying to take her clothes off.
But no sex occurred.
No.
So when we're talking about legally, in the worst of cases, it's an assault. Okay?
Okay.
All right. But that, be that as it may, probable cause allows an investigator to make an arrest, or probable cause allows a grand jury to indict, okay? And probable cause is also the standard that we use in police work to get a search warrant, to find more facts and evidence. But in this particular case, from everything I've seen, Linda, everything I've heard, they have not even established the lowest standard of proof, which is reasonable suspicion. All it is a representation that is unsupported by any physical or forensic evidence. It is speculation. It's fuzzy memories. It's a lack of memories. It's contradictory statements. It's a whole bunch of things that don't reconcile whatsoever. And so this is what we are expected to basically convict Judge Kavanaugh on?
Well, as we've said, the whole thing was a travesty. And some of the senators were definitely ruder to Judge Kavanaugh than others. I thought that the Republicans were very respectful. In fact, they didn't even question Christine Ford. They allowed this prosecutor to do the questioning. And she was very kid glove type person. The thing that broke my heart was watching Mrs. Kavanaugh and Judge Kavanaugh's parents in tears in the background, just for the pain that this has caused all of them. And the other thing that breaks my heart is the whole, this whole accusation, this whole media frenzy, feeding frenzy, has caused so much pain to the Kavanaughs, so many threats, so much harm to his reputation, his excellent, outstanding reputation. Here is a man who is the best of us, okay? Not the worst of us. He is the best of us, and they are trying to take him down for political gain. And Geraldo Rivera made a point tonight that I honestly hadn't thought about, that this was really all about abortion, that they were wanting him not to be approved because they're afraid of losing abortion rights. So that's why he called this a coup. But I'm also concerned, Ron, about what are our children seeing? What are our younger generations seeing here of us?
Well, I absolutely agree with you 100%. Let me take it a bit farther and express some of my fears. Look at this process and the lowest of the lowest vile standards that this Senate has created.
Oh, and
who would want to be an appointee to anything, let alone the Supreme Court?
Well, I want to point out to you something that you actually pointed out to me, is a lot of these people questioning
the senators.
Which are the senators. Yeah, sure. I hate to even say that at this point to give them any credibility, because they themselves, look at Booker, who has groped somebody and admitted it. Look at, who's the other one that...
The guy that lied about his Vietnam service record,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, lied
yeah,
about it.
Lied
Never
about
happened.
It. And these guys have the audacity to speak down to Judge Kavanaugh, who has led an exemplary life and career.
And for all, what everybody has to say about him is that he's absolutely brilliant. So I agree with you that he is the best of the best. And that's what scares the bejesus out of me. Because if this is the best of our best, and we are doing that to his family and to his reputation, so if we are doing that to his reputation and his family that have received vile and death threats and just getting, you know, dragged through the mud, and those two poor little girls that have to watch their father going through this, this is going to cause permanent harm to them. And nobody that has done the service that Brett Kavanaugh has done for this country in the law and representing civil rights should ever have to go through something like this. I tell you, it upsets me to no end. And the last thing that upsets me about this, and I mean, maybe we can talk longer about this, but the thing that upsets me is that if this is the standard that you're creating, where we've tossed out the presumption of innocence and the balance between what is exculpatory and innocent as compared to what is inculpatory or criminal, and we have no standards of proof, and we allow no evidence and only speculation and vague memories of what happened, then any one of us could be in the shoes of Judge Kavanaugh.
Oh, by far. And the way that he was convicted in the media before any of this, the way that he was convicted by so many Democrats, so many senators, so many congresspeople, so many politicians were just saying that he's guilty. Even Joe Biden said that. And this is before the man had any hearing of any type at all. And Judge Kavanaugh begged for a hearing. Immediately upon hearing these allegations, he wanted a hearing. He wanted it out. He wanted to clear his name. And they made him wait 10 days to give Christine Ford the chance. What, to practice up on what she said? I don't know the purpose of this, but we did a huge disservice to Judge Kavanaugh. We did a huge disservice to the American people. and to our rule of law today. So, you know, Chris Cuomo on CNN, he did a poll which kind of backfired on him. And his poll was posting about the sexual assault allegations. His question to Twitter followers was to decide who should get the benefit of the doubt here on the allegations, Judge Kavanaugh or Christine Ford. He was just sure it was going to come out Christine Ford. And by far, Americans said Judge Kavanaugh should get the benefit of the doubt. He is innocent until proven guilty. American people, everyday American people, know more than these stupid politicians.
Well, another thing that bothers me, and you and I continue to talk about this together, and that is we get these self-serving politicians that are so focused on their own political ideology and what makes them look best that they forget all about the common man, the American people, and moving this country forward. This has been an unnecessary and a huge distraction to the Trump administration and in our poor president's endeavors to move the country forward. We've got problems in the Middle East. We've got a crisis in North Korea. We've got a crisis with the Iranians. We have all sorts of things that are going on, and we are trying to make our country more robust, to provide more opportunities for Americans and minority Americans and for women. And we can't do this because we're locked in a struggle that just seems endless with this resistance movement.
Oh, it is. And the, you know, every single thing that President Trump does, they resist. They go the opposite way. Even if it's something that they wanted previously, like the immigration, where he was willing with the DACA, and then they reverse themselves. It is constantly, whatever he wants, they go the opposite direction. This is the worst time in politics in my lifetime I've ever seen in this country. It's ugly. It's unproductive. And the thing that's so interesting is that despite all of that, Ron, President Trump has made a huge difference. And us just being overseas for 3 weeks and talking to all kinds of people from all kinds of countries, they see it too.
Well, you know, Linda, it's just like you said, and we've had a couple of discussions while we were in Europe about this. The way the mainstream media portrays the way that Europeans think about President Trump and think about Americans in general is completely out of whack with the reality that we see when we talk with the indigenous people. And, you know, this last 3 weeks, we have traveled straight across Europe, everywhere from Hungary all the way up to the Netherlands, and then coming back again and finishing it up in Italy. And every single person that we talked with, including Canadians on our cruise ship,
right,
have a great opinion about President Trump, or at least a positive one, and where the United States is, because they say, where goes the United States, there go we.
Yes.
And so when we are prosperous, when we are, our economy is booming and our employment is up, our people are making more money, which means they buy more European products, and our country raises up the economy of the countries in Europe.
Absolutely.
By and large, not every country, but those countries that believe in what the United States is doing.
Well, and absolutely everybody had a robust economy, except for Italy, which has their own separate issues. But President Trump has made such a difference in their economies as well as ours. And that is despite all of this negativity going on in our country. I mean, we're kind of in a civil war here at this point.
You know, let me mention this, because I was listening to Bill Bennett speak, you know, conservative, you know, speaker. He used to be our, believe our Secretary of Education at one point. And, you know, Dr. Bennett was talking about the fact that we are almost in a civil war. He said this is the worst he's ever seen it in his lifetime, and he's older than both of us. Okay, he's a Reagan administration appointee, if you remember. And, you know, Dr. Bennett just says that this is a horrible state of affairs. But, you know, optimistically, he turns around and he says, yeah, but after the Civil War, America got together. Well, you know, Dr. Bennett, as an old U.S. history teacher, I would tell him that that wasn't exactly so. It took many, many years, okay, decades, for the United States to sort of come together. And what caused us to come back together is actually being in a couple of different world wars, where it was us against, you know, a bunch of other people in Europe. So that's not exactly it. And by the way, right now we're having these major political disagreements. We haven't come to belligerence. In other words, we haven't come to actually physically warring against each other's, you know, Democrats and Republicans. So I'm really concerned that if we keep heading in this direction, we're going to cause political strife that may very well lead to physical strife and violence.
Well, and I actually think it already has. When you look at some of the Black Lives Matter and the different things that have
Antifa, Occupy, yeah,
that
sure.
have been happening. So it is starting. I hope that this event will disgust America enough to look at making a change. And I hope that they do it with their vote, Ron.
Yeah, and you know, before we grab our last cup of coffee tonight, Lynn, I would just hope that Democrats would see through all of the smoke and mirrors and distraction and the guy behind the curtain, right? Start paying attention to that guy behind the curtain. And hopefully they'll think, wow, this could happen to me, with regards to just tossing the rule of law and the presumption of innocence out and thinking about the futures of themselves and their children. If they are going all the way back to high school to bring up some specious allegations that aren't even supported by any facts or evidence, this again could happen to them and their children.
Well,
and
it could
nobody
happen,
wants that.
It could happen to you. It could happen to our sons. It could happen to anybody.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to ResponseToActiveShooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, ResponseToActiveShooter.com, and be safe out there.
Well, let's talk about something, I don't know, a little more upbeat. How about?
I'm with you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, a couple good news things. You know, there was a couple of interesting stories, and this reminds me of that movie that we watched not too long ago where the boy was lost at sea all by himself. Remember that? And the tiger was in the boat?
I don't remember the name. The Indian boy.
Yeah. Right? Well, this also is an Indonesian boy, 18 years old, and he was a lamplighter, which is a guy that goes out onto this little fishing thing, but it's not motorized, in the ocean, and he does some work, and it's almost like a little hut on the water. And a strong wind came up and broke the rope, and it whisked him away, and he was floating in the ocean on this for 49 days.
Oh, wait a minute. So he was anchored on this craft, and the wind broke the rope, and then he went adrift.
Right. It's usually supported by buoys with a rope, okay. But a big wind came up, and it broke the rope, and he was taken adrift. And so he went far away from the boat, and he was in this little hut with no anything, no water, no food, no anything, for 49 days.
A fishing rod, mm-hmm. Nothing? He had no way to catch fish or anything?
Well, he did catch fish, which is how he survived.
Okay.
And what he did, which I'm kind of confused about, but this is what he said. As far as water, he collected water in his clothes. So I'm not sure if it was rainwater, but he said it was seawater, and he would squeeze them out. Now, I don't know if that takes any of the salt out. I don't imagine it would, because my understanding is that you can't drink seawater.
Correct.
But he did get water by squeezing out his clothes, so maybe it rained in the ocean.
I think that's probably what happened.
Yeah. But anyway, 18 years old, and finally a boat found him. Wasn't looking for him, but found him, and happy ending there.
Did he have a volleyball called Wilson?
No. Well, I didn't see that he did.
You weren't expecting that, yeah. Were you?
That was Wilson. Yeah, that was good. There was another little young man who was very lucky in, let's see if I say this right, Kazakhstan? There, that place,
there
yes.
There you go, Kazakhstan.
So he lives on the 10th floor of an apartment house, 7 years old, and he told his folks he wanted to go out for a walk, but apparently he didn't get to go out for the walk, and interestingly, when they leave the place, they leave him by himself, and they lock him in.
Oh, so he's a latchkey kid.
Well, he's locked in, not out. He's locked into his apartment.
Yeah, well, that's what parents do in child abuse cases. They're called latchkey kids.
So he's locked in his apartment, and he wants to go for a walk. So he decides he'd climb out the window.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Yeah. He's on the 10th floor.
He's on the 10th floor. So he actually kind of gets himself stuck, and he's hanging on the windowsill.
This will not end well.
People are seeing him down below, and they're trying to get blankets and things to catch him.
Oh, good luck with that.
What happened was, and you can see this on video, just literally as he falls, the guy in the apartment below him reached out of his window and caught him.
No.
Yes, on the 9th floor. And so that kid is okay. Now, the kid was fine. The guy who caught him was fine. The mother, when she found out what happened to her son, right, needed medical attention. But that's what you get for leaving your kid alone on the 10th floor. Well, I have some more good news, and I think this is really good news. You and I kind of get on the millennials quite a bit. I'm going to give you some really good news about millennials, which I'm happy to see, is that millennials are staying married longer. They are shrinking the divorce rate in the country by 18%.
Well, that's pretty incredible. Isn't the divorce rate nationally somewhere around 56%?
I honestly don't know what the divorce rate is.
Pretty close to that.
But they have shrunk it by a lot.
And why?
Well, I would assume because they're getting married a little later in life. They're taking their time, and they're being a little bit more picky about who they marry. They're taking time to get a career first, and therefore they are more settled in what kind of life they want to live and who would be the right person to pick to live that kind of life with them.
That makes a lot of sense. That's good to know. I know we kind of dump on them, but that's really good news.
Yeah, and I think it's really good for marriage, too, because I don't know about you, but I think marriage is a pretty good institution.
I'll tell you, it's been the best institution for me, being married to you.
Speaking of marriage and sex, so the whole first part of our conversation was about sex and sexual assault. Second part was about marriage and millennials.
So now you've decided you're going to combine them now, and we're going to talk about
this, and I'm going to
marriage
say,
and sex. I'm with you. My ears are up. I'm listening to every word. I'm hanging on everything you
say. I'm going to tell you why sex after 60 has a lot of health benefits. So if anybody that we know is over 60, here's what they need to know. Ready?
I'm ready.
You sleep better.
That's right.
Sex is related to more and better quality of sleep. So
it's the release of dopamine.
Well, it actually, the OxyContin too, right? OxyContin, it is released. It's a hormone that helps you relax.
Oh, yeah. So it's like having a turkey sandwich, right? What's that called? Tryptamine or what is it?
Tryptophan.
Tryptophan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and sex decreases the levels of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So overall, it's very, very good for you.
I would agree.
Okay.
It's been great for me.
It's an anti-aging tool.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, okay. So just studies show that couples who have sex 3 times a week look a decade younger than their age.
You know, I get a lot of people that tell me how much younger I look than my age. Do you get that a lot?
Oh, I get that a lot. And the reasoning is that maybe because people who are making love more often probably take a little bit better care of themselves because they're still in that mode of...
Well, it's the attractiveness.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yep. It also releases endorphins, which are a feel-good hormone in your body.
Yep.
So that acts as a natural painkiller, reduces anxiety.
That's
so
exactly
maybe you
right.
get less wrinkles.
And endorphins are pain blockers.
Well, and it also releases more of the human growth hormone, which makes your skin more elastic.
Ooh.
So lots of good benefits from having sex after 60.
Good. Let's test that theory out.
Another one is that you strengthen your relationship. And I think that you and I know that. We talk about it in our home a lot. That, and we've had the conversation before where I talked to our daughter and our daughter-in-law and our sons about that sex is a good bonding thing in your relationship.
Right. It's not something that they use as a manipulative tool. And I think you're really good about informing the ladies in our family about that.
Yeah. So cuddling, hugging, kissing, all those things make for good marital bliss.
It could be maritable.
Marital bliss. Okay. So if you're a person that gets headaches and I don't get headaches, but every time we go to Europe, I seem to catch this respiratory thing that I've
like
got
like you got now.
On. Yeah. But anyway, the sex helps you experience fewer headaches. So I think that that would be a really good thing if you're somebody that gets migraines.
How does that reconcile with women that don't want to have sex because they claim to have a headache?
I don't know. I've never used that one, so I don't
know you haven't. Okay, it was a trick question.
Another good thing about having sex after 60 is that your happiness increases. The more sex people have, the happier they report feeling overall in life.
I absolutely agree with that. It makes a lot of sense.
So if you want to put a number on it, people who have sex 2 to 3 times a week are 33% happier than couples who had no sex in the previous year.
Then again, that makes sense a lot.
It
sure.
does make sense, sure.
You're going to be a lot happier when you're getting what you want sexually.
Sure. And all of those hormonal benefits from having sex, right? Because things happen in your chemistry in your body that are good for you.
Especially as you're getting older, you're having a lot of chemical changes in your body.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. And you boost your cardiovascular fitness. So that's another, you can gain strength and flexibility through lovemaking.
Yeah, it's a balance, you know, Lynn. You don't want to have a heart attack while you're having sex, okay? You want to pace yourself while you're having sex when you're older.
Anything that is exercise that gets your blood pumping is a good thing.
My philosophy is it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep. So overall, if you're over 60, have some sex. It's a great thing to do for your health.
And I agree. And I would say have a lot of sex.
I know you would say that. And I'm going to kind of end our evening with kind of a creepy story. So
you're going to talk about Joe Biden?
No, no. There, you remember Ghostbusters?
Sure, I do.
And you remember the ectoplasm and all these things in Ghostbusters? Well, what they have discovered is, you know, scientists have spent a lot of time looking at what's inside of you to see what's going on, right? But
it's called medicine.
Yes. But there's a team of scientists that have developed a device about the size of, say, a pack of cards or a cell phone that sucks up the air around you. Basically, what they are saying, Ron, is that everybody has a cloud, a creepy, invisible cloud around them. Everybody on Earth does. So you have your own little personal cloud. You can't see it, but if you suck up the air around each individual person, you will get a huge different variety of bacteria, viruses, fungi, pollen, insecticides, carcinogens, as the participants in these studies go about their daily lives. And these are things that you're going to start laughing, that they're exposed to.
Okay. Do you remember, who was the Peanuts character? Oh. Who was that guy? Was it Linus? Who was it? No, Linus had the blanket. No. Who was the Peanuts character that had a cloud of dust around him all the time?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Anyway, okay. I get the picture.
Like that.
I get the picture. So that's real?
So we apparently all have this creepy cloud around us. And what they found is that things like somebody who has allergies, who thinks that they're allergic to one thing, they actually find out by this little dust thing around them that it's something entirely different. And so now, besides doing this medical investigating on the insides of people's bodies, they see lots of potential with collecting these things, the bacterias, the viruses, the things that are kind of hanging on you as you go through life.
That's creepy.
It's creepy.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a creepy. Okay, here's something more creepy. Based on what you just told me, and just a couple of days, we took that long Lufthansa flight from Florence, Italy, all the way back to Texas, and we're in this gigantic plane that holds over 500 people. Okay,
One having a creepy cloud.
Each one having a creepy cloud. Okay, that's disgusting.
It really is. And you know what? Now, tomorrow, you're going to be thinking about it as you walk around
town. I swear to God, I'm going to be keeping my distance. People are going to think I'm standoffish. No, that's okay. You can stay right over there. Oh, but I'd like to shake your hand. No, that's okay. I'm good with it. How about a knuckle bump? I think not.
See, that is how I inhaled somebody's creepy cloud.
I know you did.
On the trip, which is how I got this respiratory thing going on.
Okay, so do you remember the first day on the cruise ship and that lady was coughing?
Okay, all over us.
And there was 160 of us, but only one person on that whole ship was coughing. But at the end of the 2 weeks, I bet you 2/3 of the people on that whole ship were coughing. And that's because that creepy little lady with the cough went around with her cloud.
Her creepy cloud.
Her creepy cloud, and gave it to everybody.
She did give it to everybody. And when I sat near her on the bus, we got up and moved because I was so afraid of catching it. And thank goodness that I waited basically until I was home to, you know, come down with it. Just as we were leaving Italy and coming home, I knew that I was going to come down with it. But I got my whole vacation in. So I'm good with it.
And you remember when we were taking some of those walking tours, that lady happened to be in a couple of our same tour groups, and she would come around us. It was like she was stalking us with that stupid cough, and you and I would deliberately walk away from that lady and go on the opposite side of the tour guide.
Well, and it's not that she wasn't a very nice lady. It's that when I get this respiratory kind of thing, I get very sick with it. And I'm afraid of that. I didn't want to get sick with it. So that's why we kind of kept running away. But I got it anyway. But so far it's pretty mild. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, now don't take this the wrong way. But we're about to go to bed. And we sleep in the same bed. This is not Ricky and Lucy Ricardo. Okay? And so if you don't mind, just turn your cloud over to the other side of the bed. And keep your distance.
Well, that's very romantic.
And right after we said we were going to have sex.
No, you said we were going to have sex. Oh, good night. Good night, Ryan.
Good night. Good night, Linda.